I'm Josh Schwartz.
And I'm William Illingworth.
Hosts of the High Tech Podcast, a part of the Education Podcast Network, just like the show you're listening to now.
Shows on the network are individually owned, and opinions expressed may not reflect others.
Find other interesting education podcasts at edupodcastnetwork.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another great episode of My EdTech Life. Thank you so much for joining us on this wonderful Wednesday, or it may be well into Thursday, depending on where it is that you might be joining us around the world. But wherever you are, thank you so much, as always, for making us part of your day, of your viewing pleasure, of your listening pleasure. We really appreciate all the help, the help by supporting us, obviously, and sharing our content. But thank you so much for all the likes, the shares, the follows, and definitely subscribing to our YouTube channel. You know, our mission is to get to 1,000. We're almost there. So thank you all for being part of that and just contributing to just this great platform. As you know, we do what we do for you so we can bring you some amazing conversations week in and week out. And tonight I am excited. I am delighted. It is my third day in a row podcasting live. So that really hypes me up. But also because I have the honor of bringing on a very special guest and a very special person that I have known since about maybe 2016, 2017, around there in that area. So we go back a long way, but this is the first time that I get to have a nice long conversation and interview him. So I would love to welcome to the show our amazing guest, Mr. Brian Lamb. Brian, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing great. It's great to be here and excited to talk tonight.
Excellent. Well, I'm excited. Like I said, it's something that I've been looking forward to. And I want to thank you also for just coming on very short notice. As far as, you know, I saw what y'all released last week and immediately I was like, Brian, how soon can you be on the show? And you're like, well, how soon can you get me? And we made it happen today. So thank you so much for doing that. And I'm really excited to talk about what you're doing, what Soul is doing. And of course, we'll get into the main meat or the heart of the matter in a little bit as we dive in. But Brian, for all our audience members that may not be familiar with your work yet or may not know who you are just yet, I was wondering, can you please give us a little brief introduction and what your context is within the education space?
Yeah, well, so I'm a co-founder and co-CEO of the company Swivel, which is the namesake of the product that most people know us for, which is a little piece of hardware, a robotic piece of hardware that follows teachers around classrooms and helps them video themselves. And then we've had a range of other services, which is, I think, where we first connected, including Recap and Synth, that were student-focused tools over the years. And we're doing a few other new things, but that's primarily my role today. My background's coming from product design and engineering. So that's where I came before I entered the engineering or the education space.
Excellent. Well, that's exciting. And like I said, you definitely mentioned two amazing apps back in the day that, and even to this day, when I ran into you at ISTE this last year, I always take it way back to the Recap days because that was a game changer for my classroom. And I know that many out there know what Recap is, some may not know, but I got to say that that was one of the first apps that definitely helped open the door for me to really share the work that I'm doing and obviously the student work, but really helped me get out there in the education, social media space and everything. So I want to thank you for that and the efforts that you put into that product as well. And of course, with Synth also, just, wonderful products. And now, of course, still continuing with Swivel. And now we're coming up to just an amazing release that was just announced last week. And so, Brian, if you can tell us a little bit about what Swivel has done, last week, big announcement. So tell us a little bit about that release and, just what the mission is of Swivel alongside with that release.
Yeah. Well, you'll probably recognize pretty quick that what we're doing with Mirror has a very strong connection to Recap. And a lot of the things we learned in building and working with educators like yourself on Recap, we're rolling into what we're doing next. at the highest level, we think of ourselves as a reflective tools company. That's generally how we describe ourselves today. And that encapsulates pretty much all of our products. And Mirror is, I think, now our leading hardware and software platform to bring reflection into classrooms. And our goals there at the highest level is what we say is we're going to automate reflection. And there's a couple key pieces to it, but the hardware is there to make it really easy to set up and access to do a reflection at any time individually or in small groups. And so that the device itself really is there to help set the routines and rituals necessary to reflect regularly in classrooms. And then the software on it is made in part leveraging AI to make it a really engaging experience to reflect and to provide new insights to educators about those reflections that they've never had before and that tools like Recap couldn't deliver before just because the technology wasn't there. So there's a lot of things that kind of come together, and we're unique in that we do hardware and software. We do kind of big ideas and big systems. And so this is the next kind of big step for us in our company evolution.
Oh, I love it. And you know, with Recap, it definitely was just an amazing tool. And I love, I think it was just one of my favorites. And maybe it just could have been that it was just ahead of its time in that sense. But I absolutely love the fact that there was those reflective components. And more than anything, it didn't feel like it was just one way. There were so many things that you could do, and it was just amazing paths that you can create for your students and the opportunities that they had to share their learning and reflect. And very much so in what we're talking about here with the release of Mirror, like there is no doubt that some of those elements there from Recap are definitely here. And that's why, to me, I just got so excited about it. So going in a little bit more and talking about the reflection component and pieces onto that. So Brian, I want to ask you, you know, through Mirror and, you know, clearly having thought this out, and like you mentioned a little bit in the pre-chat, you know, starting to plan out this project back in 2021, is that correct?
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah. So I want to ask you, you know, as far as technology enhancing reflective practices in education, can you tell us a little bit about how Mirror can go ahead and do this and enhance that learning experience within the classroom setting?
Mm-hmm. Well, first I'll describe kind of my lived experience of making things. And, you know, it's a bit of a journey down a rabbit hole. And you start with a set of ideas that some of them survive, some of them don't. And then new ideas emerge along the way. And so the Mirror is kind of the end of the rabbit hole that we went through since that time. One of the things that we were really, of course, we had to start the hardware development first. That's the thing that takes the longest. Hardware development is notoriously difficult. It destroys companies, you know, if they don't have the right expertise to undertake it. Really, really very difficult for people to do. And it's something we've done, of course, before. We have that expertise, but it still takes a while. And one of the things we wanted to do was to create kind of two things in that hardware. One was a tool that fits somewhere in between whole classroom instruction devices like interactive boards or individual personal devices like computers, Chromebooks, things like that, recognizing that a lot of learning is social and how can we facilitate learning with technology, but in more social ways than kind of having everybody, you know, essentially with headsets strapped on, which is one vision of education that we're not as excited about. It has its place, but there's a place for other things too. The second part of that was to create a product that also, even when it's not an active use of the teacher, it's creating value for them and addressing needs. And so this idea of a device is kind of built like a kiosk that can be there to self-serve students, which now has emerged as self-serve on reflection emerged. And that also can dual purpose to be placed and guide small groups as a facilitator, as a guide, you know, guide inside in a very literal sense. That was kind of the idea of that technology. So those are some of the guiding ideas from the beginning. There was more and more crazy ideas. The code name for the project was Origami, and that kind of spoke to like, all the different ways you could configure it and use in different ways. Some of those things we pulled back from, thankfully. You know, now more recently, of course, the realization of what we can do with AI has developed since 2021. And, you know, one of the biggest challenges of Recap was create a lot of potential, but it also created a lot of work to use for teachers. You had to review all these responses that you captured. And I think, you know, we never really cracked the formula on how to make that manageable and targeted for the teacher in a way where they knew how to spend their time effectively. And more recently, we started to realize, well, hey, you know, large language models allow us to kind of peer into content in a way we couldn't before and provide insights that actually could help guide a teacher's attention in a more effective way than making them watch, you know, hours and hours of response videos. And so, you know, the idea of bringing AI into the equation for reflection emerged, and we kind of mashed those two trajectories up into what you see into the concept video that's there today.
That is wonderful. And, you know, you mentioned a lot of things there that I definitely want to, you know, get into. And one of it being, obviously, the code name too, like you said, Origami. And to me, it really exemplifies what Mirror is and what I see it, the capabilities of it, because you mentioned with Origami, it means that it's very easily adaptable. You can definitely set it up in any situation, working in any in the classroom settings and so on. And that's the one thing that I love about it, when the tech almost feels like it isn't there and it's not really in your face, but because here it's a way for it to see what students are doing, and the students can go up and reflect at any given time, you know, and when they're cued to do it, maybe by a teacher and so on. So I think that that's really what I love about this, that it's not intrusive. You're really just going about your business, doing the learning and so on. So can you tell me a little bit more as far as that added versatility and how Mirror can be used within the classroom setting and the adaptability within the classroom setting?
Yeah. Well, so we'll kind of start from the base use case, and then we can kind of expand to how the physical device helps support that. And, you know, I think one of the things you notice when you see it immediately is it's got these kind of ruggedized roll bars on it. We were almost going for like a Jeep aesthetic when we were designing the product. But there's not just protective value in those roll bars. There's functional value, which I think, you know, we'll walk through. So the first one is it. Two things. It looks like it's almost an ATM kiosk when you walk up to it, right? It presents itself to you in a way where you can walk up and use it. But the name Mirror is descriptive in that it also kind of looks like a swivel mirror. And that was kind of an intentional play on words that we wanted to do, so you can adjust it to any type of person. And so just it sitting passively, it presents itself in a way where it says, hey, come talk to me. And that was kind of the idea. But you know, when you know, there's obviously ways to kind of adjust what it's looking at and, you know, the size of the person that's interacting with it, because there's a hinge in the system that you can adjust. But the cool thing about those roll bars is you can also do kind of two things. One is you can drop it on its side. So it actually can set up as a simple second display if you ever need to do that. And you can plug your HDMI or USB-C cables in the back and project content to small groups and kind of rotate it back and forth. And the one that I really love about it is you can drop it on its back and turn it into a surface computer of sorts. And the roll bars become hand rests, and you can type on that or add a stylus to it and draw on that. And we're bringing tools that make that a useful use case in classrooms. As a part of the experience of using the mirror. So there's, you know, when you kind of think about all those different scenarios of like, hey, we're having a conversation, we've been given some directions from the teacher to do something, we've got to, you know, brainstorm some ideas, let's flip it on its back, we can draw on it, we can flip it back up and have it, you know, video our reflection after the fact. And it just gives this really kind of configurable way of getting what you need from it, but again, not in just individual use cases, but also in, you know, small to medium groups.
That's amazing. You know, one thing that I love, like you mentioned, is just, again, going back to, and it makes sense, like, you know, the connection to origami, but the way that this can easily adapt to those classroom situations. But also, again, the added value. I think many times we look at a product, and I hope that people have really been able to dive in. And that's why I'm thankful that you were here also tonight to really explain exactly what it is that somebody would be seeing in their classroom, but the multifunctionality of it, where, again, it can serve so many different purposes, but also the main goal was about reflection. And obviously the play on words, genius. I love it. Whoever came up with that and whose idea that was, kudos to you, because that is amazing. The swivel mirror, I mean, it goes great. But also the name mirror, you know, I hadn't thought about that until now when I saw you release this last week. And I was like, mirror, that's right. It's a reflection. That's what we're talking about. And we want to engage students in self-reflection. So in this line of questioning, my question to you is how does mirror play that crucial role or that integral part within the classroom, so a student can go ahead and work either on self-reflection or whether it's a group setting? Tell us a little bit about that functionality and what teachers can expect to receive on their side. Because you mentioned that it had some, you know, a little bit of that recap vibe, but obviously trying to make that workflow a lot easier for teachers. So tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, a couple of things I can start with. I think the most important thing that we're trying to do is to make it a routine around really any and most learning activities, recognizing that the reflection is really where two things, that the learning gets cemented, but also the skills to think about learning get developed. And in our sense is the skills to think about learning are going to become more and more important, in particular with AI around and kind of their influence on society. So it's just kind of a side point there. Now, you know, the way the product does it is it basically, anything that you use the product for, it essentially ends in a conversation with an animated AI-driven reflected self, is what we call it. Very descriptive to the mirror name. In the objective there, this also addresses something else that we learned both in some other tools we've created, but in Recap in particular, which is writing takes too much time and effort for people to do at the rate they need to develop these thinking skills about learning. And the second one is staring into a blank camera, seeing yourself, doesn't always help you reflect. A lot of kids struggle kind of looking into a camera and just talking to themselves. And it's a lot easier to talk to someone else. And so in this case, what we're doing is we're building essentially a character that students can build themselves to build their reflected self. They can choose. Today, they'll be able to choose colors and some of the identity attributes of the reflected self. But tomorrow, we're going to allow them to open up a lot of personalization to essentially make it be the reflected self they want to talk to and consult with on their learning journey, and really to embody the person that they want to be. And so what it really turns into is a conversation with, you know, your future self, the better self that you want to be, that helps you understand your goals and how you feel about the learning process. And in our hopes is that can have a really transformational effect on motivation that we can generate, you know, in students for learning, and also in that social emotional wellness that they have as they go through that experience, and a lot of other potential.
You know, that is one thing that I love. You hit on so many things. Number one, obviously, you know, the fact that they can build their own reflected self. But I love how you took it to that next level of kind of like that future you or who you aspire to be. And I think that is so important, you know, especially now in any classroom setting and any which way, to be able to do that. And you're speaking to somebody that you have created in that sense of, you know, you kind of see, like, obvious, sometimes we say, well, it's like, there's no representation. It's like, now you're seeing yourself in that mirror and saying, hey, you know, this is me. And you're having that conversation. And what I like about it too, is that the students are working on that communication skill, not like you mentioned, a lot of that SEL skill, and being able to speak with somebody and reflect on what they have just done. And like I said, going back, and I mean, we just keep referencing recap, you're absolutely right in the sense that it just makes things so much easier for them and in a more fun way. And again, still with the tech not being so up in your face. And that's one thing that I love, that, you know, you could position Mirror, like you mentioned, maybe in a way where it's checking out the group setting, or you can work on it one-on-one. You can adapt it to certain situations, but it's not there continually just right in front of you. As we do see many times, you know, the Chromebooks are out completely the whole time. And sometimes we just forget that it's okay to not use tech, and it's still okay to learn and do the hands-on and allow students to have discourse and to learn and fail and, you know, learn their strengths and weaknesses. But something like Mirroring, allowing them to say, hey, you know what? This is the activity that I did. I could have done this maybe a little bit different. And that's the one thing that I loved about Recap, where my students, where I would walk them through and then getting their feedback and seeing how they're doing. So this to me really gets me really excited. And the fact that, again, like you mentioned, with a lot of thinking in mind, that it's not just me standing there talking to a machine, but you're talking to an avatar that has been built, your own reflected self. And I think that does really help in that motivation piece of, hey, you know, this is my future me I'm talking to, and I definitely want to strive for excellence in what I'm doing or get 1% better every day in what I may be doing. So I want to ask you, though, as we bring Mirror into our classroom, and whether it's in a group setting or whether it's a one-on-one, depending on what the teacher would like, what kind of data is it that it's getting from student as far as their reflection, and what does Mirror do with that to help the teacher as far as, well, what can I do different to either tweak instruction or to make sure that I am maybe fixing any misconceptions, you know, so how does that tie to that teacher component?
Yeah. And this is a part of it that I'm super excited to get to. So of course, we're early in the process of launching the product and getting usage on it. I fully expect this, our ideas for this to evolve as we work with more and more educators, but I can explain our thinking today and what we know the technology can do. And I think even from that standpoint, it's really interesting. So the first level of it is, you know, we can essentially give AI a rubric for what is a good reflection from, you know, standards that we all know from that educators have used to guide reflection in the past. And it can, you know, two things. One is it can score that reflection objectively on how well you understood a goal or how well you were able to express your feelings or explain your work or even just present evidence of your thinking. And give feedback at, you know, almost numeric feedback to students on how they're doing on those skills. And then it can give qualitative feedback directly to those students of how to improve those scores. And one of our goals in doing that is to take them essentially the skill of reflection, where you're just teaching them how to explain their thinking and how to express their feelings, and try to automate that completely so a teacher doesn't have to spend as much or any time on them. That's kind of the first goal there. And it's all presented to the teacher and the students so teachers can leverage it as they need as data. And they can also look at the recording and say, like, does this match up and does it match my judgment? But our goal as a company is to take the skill of reflection and try to do as much of that as we can. The second layer is, you know, what did they say and how is it, you know, how do you want to present that to the teacher for them to use it in their lesson planning or individual follow-up? So we can do things like sentiment, how are students feeling? We can assess at a high level the mindset that they're exhibiting. One of the more interesting areas for me is I think it could become one of the better ways to assess that work occurred or detect if cheating occurred, because you're able to, just get a score on how well a student is able to articulate they did anything, whether they had a first-person experience that was original and unique. And we can present a score to the teacher of how likely it is that they did the work or that they took shortcuts. I think that's a really interesting dimension for reflections to go into. it already matches it. You'll see, I've seen quite a few university and state policy documents already guiding educators to move towards assessing on reflection anyway, because it's really the thing that's hard to falsify as of today. And so what's so cool about it is, yes, we're going to capture a video of it, but we can also give educators machine-driven insights as to kind of where risks might be and where they need to direct their attention on it. So those are some things that we know, and when we're actively kind of proving it at tech level works. And I think there's a whole another trajectory that's going to open up as we get more and more of these in the field.
Excellent. I love that. You know, and that's so important. Like you mentioned, you know, that you're seeing just that reflective piece and how important it has been. And I think it's something that even, you know, several years back, I guess it's been 7-8 years now since the last time that I was in the classroom before I moved into this role as instructional tech. But I mean, reflection was my main thing for me to really see that student mastery of content. And obviously we did a lot of project-based stuff, a lot of hands-on stuff at the rubric and so on. And just to see and have a learning artifact that they created, either something digitally, or it was either something like, you know, a presentation in the front or a graphic and so on. Giving that authentic reflection was so powerful because it really, you know, held the students accountable. I mean, this is where I'm at. This is what I did. This is what I need to improve on. And it kind of really helped them continue their work and striving, again, for improvement and so on. So the fact that now there would be a tool available and I guess like an assistant to the teacher in that sense that is available, really just there that at any time that the student can go and reflect and be able to share what they're learning. And like you mentioned, so many things, you know, even just, you know, how they're doing that day, you know, that SEL piece, the communication piece, working on the lessons and so on. So I wanted to talk a little bit and ask about what else Swiv or the Mirror would have available as far as, does it have any built-in activities that are already there, like either for small groups or individual students? And can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, you can set it up in a variety of ways. And our plan is to have a whole range of activities you can do. But I'll start with kind of what we're building today. So the first step is you can just set up an automated reflection. So our one of our first goals in building this is that within 5 to 10 minutes of breaking it out of the box, an educator can have it set up, press go, and students could walk up to it and do a reflection and produce insights out of it. Because we know, you know, the biggest issue with educators today is time. They just don't have the time to do a lot of new stuff. And that alone kind of justifies its existence in the classroom and is a gateway to start doing more as they see value. And so let's kind of get to the next level. So the next level is they can add a goal or a timer to an activity in advance of the reflection, and then have the reflection automatically prompted from that goal. And so it could just be, you know, a guide on the side giving directions to students for some specific activity. And then when the timer's up, walks them through that reflection automatically. And that would be kind of second level. The third level is we have a range of tools that we're building into that activity space. So you could ask them to do, you know, visual thinking with a whiteboard, or record themselves practicing storytelling skills or brainstorming, or whatever it is you want them to practice away from their personal devices. And, you know, there are a few other things like just open access to AI under the control of the teacher when they think students are ready for it. You could give access to those things for a specific exercise. So, and you can build those in kind of single steps or multi-step activities. So in a very advanced move for a teacher would be, I record a goal, I set up 3 or 4 steps. You know, one is, you know, time to plan. Second one is to whiteboard. Third one is to record what you're doing. You know, fourth one is to reflect. And now you've got a, you know, a 30-minute activity that could guide a small group for the whole time. And, you know, flexible and set up however you see fit from a physical standpoint to support those students. So there's these kind of levels. You can basically scaffold your way into it. And we're going to have more and more tools to offer up to students in each discrete step, more and more ways to make it easier for teachers to build those activities. And so that's generally the roadmap for us to develop the technology from here.
That is great. That all sounds wonderful. And totally right now, it just brings back some of those recap vibes where you're just front loading everything for the students. But I love it. You know, it's that assistant, like you mentioned, the co-teacher, just that extra just help there to make sure that the students are engaged with the activities that are there available. And I love, like you mentioned, the mix of those activities where, you know, they're going to be doing one thing, you know, here's the goal. Then now there's a whiteboarding aspect of it. And so talk about that versatility too, as well, where it's again, that's the thing that I love, just how adaptable it can be to your classroom situation and what it is that you need for your students to do and that goal. So now I want to ask you, as far as Mirror is concerned, obviously this, just to clarify, you know, this is not a device that is going to be like, or should be something, or is something that should be one-to-one, correct?
Correct. No.
Okay. So this would be something ideally, it'd be like one per classroom, or, you know, just depending on size of classroom. What would be the best recommendation so that either a district or teachers can get the most out of Mirror within their classroom setting?
Yeah, I think there's, given that we're very early in our process, I think the best way for a school to start is, a limited trial or demo to see how it works in a few classrooms versus kind of even thinking beyond that. I think it just anything new needs to be kind of proven and sorted out. And that's kind of where we're counseling people to start. But there's no question we built it for more than just a few classrooms. The second thing I'd say is we are also going to have Mirror apps that can support use of the software on other devices that will make it where, you know, I think as we make reflection more automated, easier, and more compelling, we're going to need to gather more reflection and naturally you're going to need more devices to do that and more devices that can support that in and outside of the classroom. So that's part of how you would cover a whole classroom, say, with one device. I do think as we scale the solution, you know, our costs will come down and there could be a future where there's a few in a classroom where you might have multiple small groups working at a time, but that's a fantastical future. And so it's not one I would focus on today.
All right. But it, you know, like I said, that's wonderful that as you continue to grow, you would have those apps available. And I did read that there is even, and I know, you know, for many school districts that there is Google Classroom integration. Is that correct?
There is.
Wonderful. Indeed. That's great. And then, so for a lot of school districts out there, that is probably one of the questions that there is, I know in our district is, hey, is this platform is it Google Classroom integrated? Because that's the first thing that teachers ask also as well. So I want to ask Brian a little bit more about Mirror now on the teacher side of this. How would you say that, you know, having Mirror in their classroom, working with students on that side, how can that also help teachers grow professionally? Do you think that this can also be maybe similar to Swivel? I know back in my district, you know, well, here in my district, a couple of years back, you know, purchased the Swivel Cam and, you know, I even use the Swivel app on my iPad. So what I would do is I would be teaching and the app would be recording my students. Sure. So I was able to kind of see and gauge, you know, engagement and so on. And I know that that helped me tweak some things on my side and even listen to myself to fix any misconceptions that I didn't realize that I had said in order to help students. So how can Mirror help teachers in that positive side as far as their instruction or their professional growth?
Yeah. Well, I'll start, you know, there's a scaffold here as well. And it's something we do think a lot about. Well, I think the one thing that I didn't, by the way, I have one of these mirrors here. So if anyone's curious what it looks like, I did miss explaining that it comes with a remote control, which means the teacher can control from anywhere. It is like Swivel. It is a microphone and a remote control in one. And in this case, it comes with a built-in lanyard so you can wear it or hold it. And in the student case, that enables a teacher to have kind of control and input from anywhere. And you know, if they want to freeze whatever's going on, they can do that from a distance. And that's kind of one thing. But it also comes back to the punchline, which is it is also a tracking remote. and it can work, make this device work exactly like a swivel. So a teacher can set it up in tracking mode and have it only image them in the classroom, capture video of their teaching practices, and export, you know, basically record that video and either keep it there in our Mirror software or export it to our coaching platform, Reflectivity. And so you can directly port it over there, go through coaching cycles or, you know, peer coaching and feedback cycles, depending on what your school or district supports, and use our tool set there. And that's a baseline level, which is they can do what Swivel has always done with this device. The second part that gets kind of interesting is to have the teacher leverage the conversational reflection aspect of it in addition to it for them to work on their own goals and their own reflected self. It's not necessarily a tool just for kids or young kids. It's a tool that will also help an adult kind of explore their feelings or goals and help them identify goals to work on. So you can think of that as a tool that also helps teachers and would kind of bookend right up with their observational recording. So it's something that comes along for the ride, so to speak. And so that expands the capabilities there. And then I think that the third one that I would say is, you know, we talked about the insights that the tool provides. And I think those insights are actually a new source of feedback that teachers haven't really had to the same level of sophistication. So to some degree, we're giving more of a closed loop process in their classroom with better insight than ever on how effective their teaching is, how well students understand the objectives that they've outlined, how they're thinking and feeling about the process. And that gives them not only ways to adapt how they teach, but to just think about their practices and how to improve themselves. So I think there's a range of dimensions on how it can feed into educator growth.
Oh, I love it. I love it. And again, it is just sparking back or bringing back so many memories of me in the classroom, you know, being able to use that Swivel app on my iPad while I was teaching, controlling my slide deck from my iPad and being able to see the student side of it. But I also love the fact, like you mentioned, it's that reflection as well. You know, many times we get to see the students, we can kind of read a room, but we can't read ourselves all the time and just to see how we may be delivering a lesson. And in this case, oftentimes, you know, when we have a platform, and for example, today I had a visit from one of our platform contacts, and we were going over reporting, and, you know, we were talking about how a teacher can go ahead and see how students are doing during those reports on their math or ELA and so on. But many times I was thinking, I was letting her know, I was like, well, these numbers here that I'm seeing here, like, you know, how true are these numbers? Could these be numbers that, you know, maybe the student is just either pencil whipping, you know, going through the answers, or if in fact it is, you know, the student really putting forth max effort. And oftentimes I said, I'm very cautious too, in the sense that, is this, you know, because of tier one instruction? Because sometimes we think and we say like, oh, well, this is the way the student and this is the student and this is the student. But how often do we really kind of turn the mirror on ourselves? And this is the one piece that I absolutely loved, that although I was teaching, I was recording myself mainly, I was checking student engagement, but in being able to view that video again, then I found out, wow, okay, I need to change that up as far as the delivery, fixing misconceptions, which led to that personal and professional growth. And this is what I love too, that it just seems that Mirror is doing so much more than what many may think, and even what I thought, because you're including obviously the student side of it, but you're also including that teacher side of it, which is very important. And I love the fact that they can put their video in and have their own or go to through the Reflectivity app and get some of that coaching there that they need, because sometimes we just may need some of that coaching and additional support. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that, but it's great. And that is the main piece also that, well, out of the many pieces, it just, I'm in awe of, because I think that this could be very great. I know one of the things in our district, the induction process is not necessarily the best. And we understand that teachers, I know, are overloaded and overwhelmed with a lot of things. And many times a mentor is assigned, or they're voluntold that they're a mentor, and they may just kind of go through the motions. But I think having something like this, like Mirror, and being able to go through the process on your, you know, in that sense of self-reflection on the daily, or, you know, every once in a while, but getting that additional support from this product and the coaching that it offers can pay off in dividends. The return on investment, the return on instruction, I'm seeing just all upside here, Brian. And again, it just seems like it's a mix of Recap, Swivel, and, you know, even Synth, all in a beautiful package to help that reflection process and to be able to hear genuine reflections, which I think, like I mentioned to you, I wish there was a lot more classrooms that I would see through or walk through where there's more discourse and students being able to speak to one another and compare and learn from one another, share through their experiences, whether they're failing, but persevering, understanding the problem-solving concepts, design thinking, but the fact that now Mirror is there and they can reflect in an authentic way with their self-reflected, you know, with themselves really in that sense is so powerful, Brian. I mean, this is, I'm in awe, and I'm just excited about where this can go and what this can lead into. And so thank you so much for the work that you've put in through Swivel and obviously here through Mirror now, because it definitely is like an, you know, work of origami. We've described so many different ways that this can easily be adapted into the classroom, and that is amazing.
Well, I really appreciate all the positive thoughts, and it helps, you know, I'll say it does help to know that we're on the right track. When you're building things, there are moments of doubts and failures and things along that path, and to get to a point to get some objective feedback and expert feedback like yours to know we're on the right track is really, really helpful and builds hope for us and the whole company. So I appreciate that.
Yeah, no, and I'm so excited, seriously, that there's so much upside and so much potential. And I think, you know, oftentimes, like I was talking to you in the very beginning, it's everybody jumps on tech and all of that. And like I said, you know, with this, I love the fact that it's not all up in your face, you know, as far as many times with students, they can do their group work, they go over there and reflect and do those things. And really, it's like the tech is not there. And that's sometimes a wonderful thing, because I think we're, you know, we use a lot of apps. And again, you know, it's a consequence of maybe like state scores. And we think that the more apps we have, the better the scores are going to be. But oftentimes we forget about that human piece and really setting up those conversations and allowing students that opportunity to share how they feel, share what they're going through, and share their authentic learning process. Because one of the things that I love is we, as educators, we don't know the thinking process and the thought process our students go through. And that's why I loved Recap in that I got to kind of not get into my students' head, but I got to hear their thought process, which in turn allowed me to kind of shift things a little bit, pivot a little bit, depending on the student or group of students, and be able to adjust. And that was so powerful. So definitely excited about this, definitely excited what the future holds. And you know, in a world where I definitely think we need to turn the mirror on ourselves a lot more and reflect, I think Mirror is the way to do it. So I'm really excited, Brian. Thank you so much for sharing tonight. Thank you so much for your passion, the work, and everything that you continue to do. And I wish you the best in this next year now that you've released Mirror. And I'm excited to hear about some of the feedback and some of those results. And I would definitely love to have you back, you know, maybe in 6 months or maybe sooner, depending. You're more than welcome to come back, because I know I'm excited to hear how this goes, because there's so much upside and so much potential. So thank you, Brian. I really appreciate you.
And I appreciate all that. And I appreciate what you do. I as we were saying before we started, I'm super impressed by the sheer productivity of yours in podcasting.
We're talking about how this is episode 249. So congratulations on that. And to appreciate what you're doing to have the conversation, help drive education forward. And that's a wonderful thing to do.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Brian. I really appreciate it. And again, I'm just thankful, like I said, knowing you for this long and seeing everything that you've gone through in doing and continually, you know, bringing out some great products and, you know, it's amazing. So I've loved seeing that. And I love now that I get to interview you and you're part of my learning journey and part of my podcasting journey too, as well. So thank you again, but we're not done yet, Brian, because I always love to end the show with the last three questions. And I know I did put them there in the calendar invite as to not cause any surprises. So let's go ahead and get started, because I know this question is one that many people are always looking forward to on the show. So, Brian, as you know, every superhero has a weakness, you know, that one pain point that really weakens them. For example, Superman's weakness was kryptonite. So I want to ask you, Brian, what is your current edu kryptonite?
Well, what I was expressing appreciation for, and you actually ties into that. I think our experience in working in education is, you know, it's getting feedback on new ideas can sometimes be challenging. There's a bunch of reasons why behind that. Some of it is kind of there isn't a great channel of communication to reach a large amount of educators at this point. Some of that is just the nature of getting feedback on ideas and getting educators to spend a little time to do that. And so, you know, I think that the hardest part for people in you know, my position or my role in the world is how do you get feedback on ideas? Because I'll admit it, sometimes we have good ideas, sometimes we have bad ideas. And what helps us figure that out and develop things that do bring value is the feedback process. So, you know, that my main kryptonite is almost always how can we get better feedback to help us build better things?
Excellent. Wonderful. Great answer. Loved it. All right, Brian, question number two is, if you could have a billboard with anything on it, what would it be and why?
Well, this one, maybe it's a little too obvious here today, but it would be, did you look in the mirror today? Right. Did you reflect today? And I think the reasoning there is, I'm just a strong believer in metacognition in general and the act of reflection. I was reading an interesting article earlier today about how reflection is really the link between the social, emotional, and the cognitive. And I think it's a link that we're gonna need more and more as we move forward, just to be healthy, to have jobs, and to kind of know how to leverage technology to get the best from it versus the worst from it. And so, you know, to me, a reflection a day is a great recommendation, and that's why I'd put it on a billboard like that.
Nice. I like that. That's a great, great answer. All right, Brian. And the last question is, if you had to author a book starting tomorrow, what would your book be about?
Well, I'd probably connect those things together, which is all of the unrealized potential of more regular and more structured reflection and talking to your reflected self could bring. I think there's a lot of societal benefits to having that skill and having that ritual and routine in your lives. And I'd love to write out a book on all of the potential benefits that could come along with doing that.
Love it. Great. Well, Brian, again, honor and a pleasure to have you here. Thank you so much for this. And again, like I said, I was just really excited that we got you on this early and that you're willing to come on the show and spend a little bit of time not only conversing with me, but also just sharing the wonderful work that you're doing with our audience members. So thank you again for that. And for all our audience members, thank you so much, Gabriel, for stopping by. Thank you so much, Tanya, for stopping by. And for all of you that are going to be catching this on the replay or checking it out or rewatching it later, please make sure you visit our website at myedtech.live, myedtech.live, where you can check out this amazing episode and the other 248 wonderful episodes with educators, creators, CEOs, founders, entrepreneurs, edupreneurs, solopreneurs, and just so many wonderful people that I know that you can take some knowledge nuggets from and sprinkle them onto what you are already doing great. So please make sure you stop by our website. And also, if you're not doing so yet, please make sure you follow us on all socials at myedtech.life. And if you could do us a huge solid, and if you haven't subscribed to our YouTube channel yet, please visit our YouTube channel, give us a thumbs up, and subscribe. We would really appreciate that. As you know, we're trying to get to 1,000 followers. So thank you, as always, for all of your support. And my friends, don't forget, until next time, stay techie.